Hello, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9th Hour in Elwood, Texas. Today is February the 15th, 2024, or it is 8-18-2028. We will start our first service today with 12 symbolic code number 1, entitled David Jihadah. Entitled The Chronological Order and Explanation of Some of the Isaiah's Chapters. Okay. This sermon selected for this issue of the Symbolic Code was delivered at the Hall in June of 1930, March 14th to June the 30th, 1942. Okay, it says a prayer thought. The message we have to bear is not a message that men need cringe to declare. They are not to seek to cover it, to conceal its origin and purpose. Its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace day or night, as those who have made solemn vows to Yahweh and who have been commissioned as the messengers of Yahshua, as the stewards of the mysteries of the grace of the Yahweh. We are under obligation for the declaring faithfully of the whole counsel of the Yahweh. We are not to make tithes, or we're not to make less prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with the eternal interest. Yahweh has given us light to regard in regard to the things that are now taking place in the last remnant of time. And with pen and voice, we are to proclaim the truth to the world, and not in a tame, spiritless way, but in the demonstration of the spirit and power of the Yahweh. The mightiest conflicts are involved in the furtherance of the message and the result of its promulgations are of the moment to both heaven are of moment to both heaven and earth. The controversy between the two great powers of the good and evil is soon to be ended, but to the time of its close there will be continual and sharp contest. We should now purpose, as did Daniel and his fellows in Babylon, that we will be true to the principle, come what may. The flaming fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, did not cause these faithful servants of Yahweh to turn aside from allegiance unto the truth, for they stood firm in the time of the trial and were cast into the furnace, and they were not forsaken of Yahweh. For the form of the fourth was seen walking with them in the flames, and they came forth not having even the smell of flour upon their garments. Today the world is full of the flatterers and dissemblers, but Yahweh forbid that those who claim to be the guardians of the sacred truth shall betray the interests of the Yahweh's cause through the insinuating suggestions and devices of the enemy of all righteousness. There is no time now to range ourselves on the side of the transgressors of Yahweh's law, to see with their eyes, to hear with their ears, and to understand with their perverted senses. We must press together. We must labor to become a unit, to be holy in life and pure in character. Let those who profess to be servants of the living Yahweh no longer bow down to the idol of men's opinion, no longer be slaves unto any shameful lust, no longer bring a polluted offering to the Yahweh, a sin-stained soul. Testimonies are... Let's see what it is here. Testimonies. The Ministers 4:7-1. It says, I'll study where the day is taken from several chapters in Isaiah, particularly chapters 12, 13, and 14. Some of these chapters contain prophecies which are illustrated by the certain experiences of the ancient peoples and nations which have sometime were to be repeated. We shall now commence our study with only a brief review of what we have already found in chapters 7 and 8, because our time is limited and you are all more or less familiar with it. First, as I mentioned, the history of the ancient Israel unsuccessfully confederating with Syria against Judah. Okay. Right, that we have today in our news. We have Syria and Judah today that are at each other's throats over there in Israel. But they could not prevail against her. Instead, both were taken by Assyria. Then follows the prophecy of the birth of Emmanuel. Since, however, Yahshua was born long after the kings of Israel and Syria were taken, it is obvious from the verse 16 of chapter 7, that a circumstance was to occur at some time that would be the antitype of the confederacy which took place anciently between Israel and Syria against Judah, and that in this antitypical period those kings represented by the Syria and Israel would be taken by a power represented by the Assyria before Emmanuel would know the difference between good and evil. Since, as has already been pointed out, Yahshua, Emmanuel, did not live in a time of such a confederacy, it must be that not only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types, but Yahshua himself is also a type. Now, we understand that Another type of Yeshua today that fulfilled this prophecy took place with Gilead Synod come to Texas 1970 to 2003, as Brother Johnson having that particular role as well as the antitypical Yeshua, claiming to be the antitypical Yeshua. He is actually antitypical Esau. But Yeshua is a type himself. In other words, we were in Yeshua's time period in our day, from 1970 to 2003, a 33 and a half year period there. It must be that not only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types of Yeshua himself. Is also a type. We learn that in Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh with us. Now I'm going to change that. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we have learned that in Emmanuel, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, meaning that the son of Yahweh is with us there on earth. That's the correct way to interpret that. It should represent only the true followers of the born-again believers and of the apostolic Nazarene creed, with the apostles at the head. These scriptures and historical facts, we learn that the antitype of Israel and Syria confederacy took place commencing in the first century AD. And one part of the Christians, parentheses Israel, federated with the pagan Syria against the other Christians, Judah. But their combined church-state power was broken by the Protestant nations of Syria after Emmanuel, born again Christians, came, but before they had advanced in the truth far enough to know how to choose between good and evil, and before the younger Christians, represented by the second son, Mahasharahazad of chapter 8, had progressed enough even to know their father, Yahweh, and their mother, the church. After Isaiah mentions the ancient historical confederacy and then the sign of Emmanuel, which we have just received and applied to the experience of the early Christian church history, Isaiah 8:9 warns against another association of the people, saying that this confederacy will likewise surely fail and fall to pieces. And for us, this is the main lesson in this chapter. We are instructed as to what to expect and what to do about it. This period, or the period we are now in, is the antitypical Assyria. The Assyrian period is about to pass away. In other words, the Gentile period, that's what we're in now, about to pass away. And the period of the Babylon to be ushered in, that there is another thing that is to happen between the setting up of the Confederacy of Isaiah 8:9 and the rise of Babylon. That is the setting up of the Yahweh's kingdom. There it is. That's who we represent, the house of David. we're in charge of this kingdom of heaven here on earth, that Yahshua has come back himself in the person, and he's sent upon the throne of David, and he has been doing that. He came back in 2002 to Turner, Texas. He went back to receive the kingdom, and then he's going to come back to sit upon the throne of David. And that's what we're waiting on right now. Yahweh's people are to be taken to their own land and made free. And outlining of the chapters, we find this order. This seventh chapter brings the birth of the Christians and the Federation against them. The eighth chapter brings in the Latter-day Confederacy of the peoples and nations and the outcome of it. The ninth and tenth chapters contain a continuation of the antithetical period of the Assyria and her fall. This 11th chapter brings the setting up of the kingdom of Yahweh. The 12th chapter expresses the praise of those in Zion and the kingdom. The 13th chapter brings the burden of Babylon. It says, recently, recently, you recall, we studied the 10th chapter of Isaiah and found that this chapter brings us to the time when the period of the antithetical Assyria is to come to its end. We might naturally expect Babylon to fall next, because that period comes after the fall of Assyria. But that is not correct, for Yahshua's kingdom must also come in its proper time. That is, the child, his people, when they have become mature, born again Christians. The burden of the Babylon, therefore, is not mentioned until the 13th chapter of the Isaiah. Now we may ask ourselves why the symbolization of the government of the Yahweh's kingdom as given in Isaiah 11 is in the form of the rod and the branch and the root. Other figures might have been used that would be just as fitting, but Yahweh chose these. Why? It must be noticed that the 11th chapter starts with the word "and," showing that it is a continuation of the 10th chapter. Now let us read Isaiah 10:33-34. Behold, the Yahshua of the host shall lop the bow with the terror, and the high ones of the stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled, and he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with the iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. For the people are illustrated as trees. The Yeshua is first to take out the people, clean the land, and then a branch shall stand. In other words, one set is to be taken out completely, and a new set is to stand in its place. The land of our fathers, Palestine, then will be clean from all wicked and wickedness, and Yahshua's people will be there with Yahshua's principles and influence ruling over them. You see then that these chapters are arranged in their correct order and put in the other terms. It can be said that when this association of the Isaiah 8 is urged, the leopard light beast of the Revelation 13 is about to pass off, and the other period represented by the scarlet colored beast of the Revelation 17 is about to come on the stage of the action. With the fall of the Assyria, the Gentile land, the land of the promise is also prepared for Yahweh's people to come and there set up a place for those who are to be called out of the Babylon, to come where there are neither sin nor sinners. Those are Yahweh's plan. For the rest of the chapter 11 describes the condition of the Yahweh's kingdom and the way his people are brought there, and continuing on with the praise of the righteous in the kingdom. Chapter 12 commences with the word, and let us read through this chapter and make a few comments as we proceed. Isaiah 12:1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. In the church purified, Yahshua's kingdom described in the preceding chapter, Yahweh's people will praise him, though he had been angry with them. When was he angry with them? When he had to use the Gentile nations, that's your Assyrians, to disperse them because of their rebellious and idolatrous ways, when they are brought back into the kingdom and are comforted, then they will understand all of Yahweh's dealings and will praise him for it. Isaiah 12:2, behold, Yahweh is my salvation. Actually, it's the son of Yahweh, Yahshua, is my salvation because of his blood that he shed for the human race. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahshua is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. This is a testimony that the Yahshua's people will bear in his kingdom here on earth in the 12th hour that we're in now, last probationary hour, Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now Yahshua speaks when the Yahweh's people are safely and peace fully situated in the land of promise, when they bear their testimony of the faith and trust in the Yahweh, then Yahweh says that they with joy shall draw water, that's the present truth, out of the wells of the salvation. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Yahshua, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, mention that his name is exalted. For the 144,000 that do this very thing, when they go unto all nations, Isaiah 12:5. Sing unto the Yahshua, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. All the earth is to know of the Yahshua's excellent things. Isaiah 12:6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. For the 144,000 standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will cry out and shout for the joy. How plain it is that what the Yahweh is about to do, that the Yahweh is about to do a great thing in the earth that all will know about. Before this message came, we were unable to place all of these events, but how clear they are now. For we already learned that with the fall of the Assyria, Yahshua sets up his kingdom, Yahweh the Father sets up his kingdom. Now let's do this again. For we already learned that with the fall of the Assyria, the Gentiles, Yahshua sets up his, Son of Yahweh, sets up his kingdom, and then Babylon comes on the stage of the action. Therefore, the burden of the Babylon is mentioned in the next chapter that we shall now study, Isaiah 13:1-2. For the burden of the Babylon that the Isaiah, the son of the Amos, did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go unto the gates of the nobles. And the presenting of the burden of the Babylon, Yahshua's first commissions his own people to lift up a banner, meaning that they are to make known what they have. They are to exalt the voice of the message by letting it do for them what it ought to do, Yahweh's people, the 144,000, are to do this for those in Babylon who will constitute the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. What the Bible declares, that it had come out of Zion, where the nobles will be, for the gates and the nobles would indicate territory and rulers, showing that the Yahweh's kingdom, or Yahshua's kingdom at that time, is in the existence, and it is this kingdom that the sincere will go when they leave Babylon, the world, in the time of the image of the beast. Isaiah 13:3. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Two groups are here mentioned. Number one, the sanctified ones, his sanctified ministry. And number two, his mighty ones, the unfallen angels. In other words, he is here telling us that he is recruiting his church and his angels for his anger. Isaiah 13:4. For the noise of a multitude in a mountain, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. For the Yahshua of the host mustereth the host of the battle. Joel, speaking of this event, says that the heathen will be brought to the valley of the Jehoshaphat, where the Yahshua is afterwards to judge them. When this happens, it is the great day of the Yahweh and Yahshua his son. Actually, it's the great day of Yahshua the son of Yahweh. Isaiah 13:5. For they come from a far country, from the end of the heaven, even the Yahshua, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. The Yahshua also comes. We have seen in these first five verses of this chapter the description of the Yahweh's army, which is to destroy the whole land. Isaiah 13:6. Howl ye, for the day of the Yahshua is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The Almighty is the Father, Yahweh. For the day of the Yahshua is at hand, and the Yahshua is telling you and me to howl even now because of it. For the people can know only what they are told. Therefore, the command comes to howl, for the certain destruction is coming. It is at hand. Isaiah 13:7-8. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take a hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as the flames, for a great and sudden surprise is coming to the nations, and all who are unbelievers shall faint. For the great day of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, shall suddenly bring trouble and destruction that they are not expecting. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, The day of Yeshua coming, cruel both with the wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. The day of Yeshua is at hand, to lay the land desolate, and to destroy sinners out of it. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations, there shall not give their light, for the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This verse gives the signs that are to precede the final great day of the Yeshua. Isaiah 13:11-12. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. At this time, Yeshua's people will be without guile and perfect in his sight, and therefore most precious than fine gold. Isaiah 13:13-14. Therefore I will make the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of Yeshua of the host, son of Yahweh, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up, for they shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every man turning unto his own people and fleeing into his own land does not mean that they will migrate to their native land. It shows a separation in which every man must choose whether he will go to the land of the righteous and be with the righteous people, or whether he will choose to dwell in the Babylon, where according unto Zephaniah 5, all wickedness is to be carried. Isaiah 13:5. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. It will indeed be a terrible, a cruel day for those in Babylon. Isaiah 13:16. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. This is the work of the wicked men, and happens. Finally, the 10 horns of Revelation 17:16 shall destroy Babylon the Great. Isaiah 13:17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. What happened to the ancient Babylon is a type of what is to happen to modern Babylon. For the horns are heathen nations will destroy her. Her gold and silver will be of no consequence to her or to them. Isaiah 13:18-19. Their bows also shall dash the young man to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children, and Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, ecstasy shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Solomon and Gomorrah. Babylon will never rise again. Isaiah 13:20, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherd make their fold there. If Babylon, the woman on the beast of the Revelation 17, is to extend over much of the earth, and at her fall is to be left with no inhabitant, it would suggest the period of the millennium. It is true that when the millennium begins, the whole world goes down. But that is not in the period of Babylon. The millennium comes after the falling the falling of the pledge, the wrath of Yahweh. The verse we are now studying is talking about Babylon, the ancient capital city of the Babylon, fell in the type and is not in the existence today. Therefore, in the antitype, whatever modern Babylon is, her capital city is likewise to come down. Isaiah 13:21-22. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their dead and their houses shall be full of the doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Elsewhere in the message, it teaches that Babylon will rule but 1 hour. And this verse says that her time will not be prolonged. We have come to the end of the 13th chapter, and the next verse starts with the word for, which is a preposition that you're supposed to start every new sentence with, the preposition, indicating that it is a continuation of the 13th chapter. Isaiah 14:1. For Yahshua will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and sit them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave unto the house of Jacob. For the Yahweh is doing this all because of his mercies on the Jacob. Of the kingdoms, for the kingdom of the Yahshua and the kingdom Babylon, Yahshua will destroy the latter and save the former forever. For Yahshua will have mercy on Jacob and Israel, and sit them in their own land, Palestine. Heaven should not be their own land yet, for the Jacob and Israel have never been there. Moreover, if this were the speaking of the period on the other side of the millennium, it could not speak on. It could only. Let's read it again. For it could not speak only of the house of Jacob, for that would exclude Abraham and all of the righteous who lived before him. And what strangers could be joined unto the house of Jacob after the millennium? None. It is clearly evident from all these facts, therefore, that this verse applies before the millennium, before the close of the probation, and that the strangers that are to join the house of Jacob could be only of the Gentiles that will constitute the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 and Isaiah 66:20. Isaiah 14:2, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Yashur for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. This verse hardly needs explanation, for it plainly tells us that those who will then be taken as captives will be under or with the rulership of those over whom they formerly ruled, Isaiah 14:3-4. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Yashur shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of the Babylon, and said, how hath the oppressor ceased? How has the golden city ceased? And the day that Jacob's bondage under or within the Gentiles is ended, and the day that strangers have joined themselves unto Jacob, in that day Jacob will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. And that's in the 12th parabolic hour, and we're in that hour right now since 2002. Isaiah 14:5-20. For the Yashur has broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth, for the whole earth is at rest, and is quiet. They break forth into the singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of the Lebanon sing. Since thou art laid down, no ruler is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That thou shalt be brought down to hell, unto the sides of the pit. For they that saw thee shall nearly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, even every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under her feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in the burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. For the antitypical king of the Babylon is called Lucifer, because Babylon is an institution of the devil. Isaiah 14:21. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. Babylon's expectations of what they will do will fail and reverse the destruction upon themselves, just as Haman's gallows at last was the instrument of his own destruction. Isaiah 14:22-25. For I will raise up against them, saith Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, and cut off from the Babylon the names and remnant and son and nephew, saith Yahshua. I will also make it a possession for the bitterns and pools of the waters, and I will sweep it with a besom of destruction, saith Yahshua of the host. For the Yahshua of the host has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Why is Assyria, this Gentile world, brought in at this point? when all through the chapter it has been talking about Babylon. For the reason, let us read the next verse, Isaiah 14:26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all of the nations. For the Yeshua is here telling us that what he will do with the Assyria, the Gentile nation, he will also do to Babylon. He declares that he will surely do it, and must not doubt it, just as the Yahshua was able to lead his people into the land of the promise anciently, so he can now also today lead his people back and take from them their yoke and make of them a nation that shall never be given unto other people, but that will stand forever. Isaiah 14:27. For the Yahshua of the host, son of the Yahweh, hath purpose, and who shall this annul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who is able to tear down his purpose? His hand already is stretched out to do it, and none has power to turn it back. No one can stop it now. Isaiah 14:28. In the year that the king Ahaz died was this burden. This is the time Isaiah saw the burden. Isaiah 14:29. Rejoice not thou, hope of Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's fruit shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a far fine serpent. Here the subject again changes, this time to Palestina, the promised land. Anciently, the rod that smote Palestine was Israel, who came into the land and became a nation of its own. But because of her disobedience, Israel was broken down and scattered, and has remained unto this day. For this verse tells Palestina, however, not to rejoice over Israel's broken condition, because something worse is coming upon Palestina, for we read this in Isaiah 14:30, and the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with the famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. It is the firstborn of the poor that shall feed and live in safety in Palestina. And Yahweh says that he will kill with the famine the root of the heathen that are now gathered there. And the remnant will he slay. He is utterly to clean out the land of all the heathen that are there and give it to his people. Isaiah 14:31. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. P. Palestina is to be completely dissolved. Through our study of the Bible, we have come to expect the heathen to be dissolved out of the Palestinian and the Assyrian period, that's in the Gentile period, whole Palestina are dissolved, for they shall come from the north as smoke. Smoke does not creep along the surface of the ground, but travels through the air, and as the smoke comes from the north, the phrase suggests that the aerial attack, that of an aerial attack, will be waged against her from the north and pass on to the south. It will mean that those who now possess Palestina will lose out. The last phrase, "and none shall be alone in his appointed times," means that they will not be alone, for others will be with it in his appointed time. Isaiah 14:32. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation that the Yahshua hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? This tells how Zion is going to be founded, for the Yahshua is to accomplish it. From all appearances, it looks as though we are very, very close to the fulfillment of these prophecies. Only one thing hinders it, and that is that we have not finished our work. Had we taken the message of the warning unto the church, this should all have been finished by now, for the nations are all ready, for Yahweh will hold it until we get our work done. Another thing that is certain is that it is for our good. Whatever happens and whoever wins, if we are followers of the Yahweh and the Spirit and in the truth. That's been the end of our study of 12 symbolic code number 1.